Rockies 102.9, The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew exhilarates and quenches with its one-of-a-kind great taste. Mountain Dew, this is how we do.
How long has Christmas been around? Since about 1967? Something like that? Somewhere in there?
Maybe in the Eisenhower administration.
Right, that's when it came in.
Yeah.
So things have been happening for some time as far as Christmas and holidays go. And again, the holiday window is Thanksgiving to New Year's Day. That's
sure.
Your window to write about, but it seems to be dominated by Christmas, which is fine.
What about Halloween?
If you've got a story, no, not included. It's outside the window. Yeah, if you got a story, go to bobandbrian.com or 1029thehog.com. Send us your story. It's time for Holiday Horror Stories that Brian reads yours on the air. You are qualified to win the grand prize. Lindsay's eyes light up every time I read the prize. It's a $1,000 gift card from Nye's Hardware Gallery and Steinhoffels.
All right. Couch.
All right.
Prepare yourself for some dysfunction this morning. It's not all dysfunction.
Yesterday was pretty bad.
But there's a lot of it. Oh, there's more today than there was. We'll start off with an injury, though, just to warm you up. It was Christmas 1987. My family was spending the holiday with my grandparents. It usually was a festive time surrounded by plenty of relatives. At one point during the day, we were running low on soda, and my grandmother asked me to go downstairs to the basement and get some more. Being the eager 9-year-old, I jumped at the chance to help out, so I rushed to the stairwell to fly downstairs and get the soda. I certainly did fly because in my haste, I caught my left foot in a hole on the second step of the carpeted stairwell. For a split second, I was parallel to the stairs as I rocketed to the concrete basement floor. Oh.
Never touched a stair, flew to the bottom.
Oh.
Fortunately, there was a doorman at the base of the stairs that I conveniently smacked my head into upon landing. I also couldn't move my right wrist, and there was a huge mark on the left side of my forehead. I got to my feet and stumbled back to the stairs, feeling woozier with every single step. My family gasped as my pale, shocked face wandered in through the kitchen and staggered into the living room. I don't remember much about that, besides a loud yelling and what to do, and eventually an ambulance was called. My parents kept trying to keep me awake as the room eventually started to be devoid of color and everyone sounded like they were in a tunnel.
Oh, my God.
The ambulance arrived and I got a free Christmas trip to the hospital to be diagnosed with a mild concussion, a large rug burn on the forehead, and a sprained right wrist. As a side note, just as the ambulance was pulling away, my grandmother's sister was pulling into the driveway and went into a screeching panic because she thought my grandfather had suffered a heart attack. When told that the ambulance wasn't there for him, she calmed down, only to explode in screaming worry once she heard it was for me. After a phone call from my parents from the hospital and the better part of a bottle of brandy, my great-aunt finally relaxed and the holiday could continue for those that remained behind. Eventually, my brother went down for the soda without incident. Happy ending. All right.
For some, you know, was it Black Bear soda?
Just black bear or white bear?
White bear, I can never remember.
Yeah. It's black bear.
The colored soda, green, red, purple.
It's so good, though. Yeah.
Really? You like that?
I grew up on that.
They still make it.
Yeah. They do. It's fun to find it.
All right, here we go.
Oh, they're out of business, I'm being told. They're no longer in business.
Oh, really?
Oh, somebody will buy that name, though, and start it up again.
The blue one was the best.
Beyonce ruined our Thanksgiving last year. In addition to stirring up some lemonade, the Queen Bey also unknowingly stirred up a heated family discourse regarding her 2016 album. The day showed promise of being a great family get-together. Our college freshman daughter was home from school, ready to share stories with her proud grandparents of her first semester at UW-Madison. That promise, however, turned out to be an ominous foreshadowing of the drama that was about to unfold at the Thanksgiving table. The event, now known to our family as the Beyoncé Thanksgiving Day Massacre, started innocently enough with some after-dinner small talk around the table. Perhaps it was the tryptophan coursing through my veins that lulled my motherly instincts into a near-turkey-induced coma that I did not see the danger in my mother asking my co-ed daughter, what types of music do you and your friends listen to?
Sure, oh, yeah. No. Why would that start an argument?
The answer of Beyoncé immediately stirred a previously unknown ire in my mother and righteous indignation towards the pop star. What followed was a lengthy dissertation about what a whore Beyonce is because her music videos promote fornication, my mom's favorite word. And how could my college-age daughter enjoy listening to that kind of moral depravity set to music? It was obvious to my mother that this was a result of both my failure as her parent and our decision to send her off to that liberal college. My family has since recovered from the shell shock of my mother's verbal assault on Beyonce, but occasionally my PTSD will be triggered by the playing of Single Ladies on the radio.
Yow, settle, take it easy, Grandma. It's Beyonce.
Sorry.
You don't like it. The holidays at my ex and her parents was always an adventure. He was the poster child for a raging alcoholic. Christmas meant a case of champagne and a full-stocked bar with booze flowing by 8 a.m. On this special occasion, he was in rare form bitching and hating on everyone. We were all used to it and let it go in one ear and out the other once he had fallen asleep and passed out. My mother-in-law sighed and said, "I can't wait till he's dead."
Wow. Wow.
This is where the oldest son says, "I know a guy, and I truly believe he did." So the next half hour they spent actually discussing and planning the deed.
Wait, what?
Yeah, you heard me.
Like for fun? No?
That's I know a guy, he said, and I truly believed he did. So the next half hour they spent actually discussing and planning the deed. I also learned my wife had smuggled a gun home from a camping trip with him, pre-TSA days, for mom to have protection. Luckily, this neighbor came to fruition as he passed away from cancer.
Well, it has a happy ending anyway.
And I got divorced from this family shortly thereafter.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
There needs to be a movie made about that.
Yeah.
Time for two?
Sure. Sure.
All right.
Holy cow. Planning a hit at it for the holidays.
Hit for the holidays. That's a Hallmark movie right there.
Yeah, yeah.
With Lori Loughlin.
Or Candace Cameron.
Cameron Burr, yeah.
Yeah.
It's been 25 years and I'm ready to talk about it. I proposed to my high school sweetheart on Christmas Eve 1992. The night was picturesque and all the holiday lights and there was a perfect snowfall. After my fiance happily accepted, we made the calls to our families. We headed out to an annual Christmas Eve party to share the good news with our friends. That year's party will be one of the most memorable as the engagement announcement added extra holiday cheer. This also led to the consumption of a lot of alcohol. After three or so hours at the party, my new fiance got into an argument about something completely stupid, which ended with us leaving the party. As we were driving home, the arguing escalated and ended up with me stopping the car, both of us arguing in the middle of the street, and after my statement of, "I'm starting to think this engagement was a big mistake."
Wow, they've been engaged for what, 3-4 hours at this point? Wow.
She responded with, "Yeah, you're right," and proceeded to take off the ring and chuck it over my head into the yard behind me.
Hey, I know I need that ring!
Wow.
Oh, I'm going to find it now!
The
you crazy bitch!
The picturesque... The picturesque snowfall I was referring to had now turned into about 5 or 6 inches of snow, making it impossible to locate the ring. We both looked for it about 30 minutes, but had to stop because we couldn't see and it was cold.
And dark.
We came back the next morning and were lucky enough to find it. We chalked that night up to booze, continued our engagement, and were married 10 months later.
What a great engagement story, though.
But if I never went back to find that ring, I could have saved a boatload of money because it cost me a hell of a lot more in lawyer's fees when we got divorced 3 years later. Merry Christmas.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, the ring was nothing. Right. In hindsight, he'd have saved money. Oh.
That was an omen. He should have listened to the omen.
Yeah.
All right, one more. Here we go. Heavy drinking was always the root cause for past dysfunctional holiday episodes. This year would be no different. Upstairs were the drinkers. My mother, her four sisters, my grandma, and three aunts. That's a lot of people.
That is. That's the drinkers, you said.
Yeah, those are the drinkers. They all stood in the kitchen and drank their preferred Piggly Wiggly boxed wine. Downstairs were the spouses and children. While in the basement, I heard muffled discussion escalate into loud shouting. And loud shouting escalate into howling screams and broken glass. Frightened glances were shot around the basement as we sat silently listening to loud thuds on the kitchen floor above. I crept upstairs. I found spilled wine, mashed potatoes flung around, and my aunt, the Mary Pat, screaming at my Aunt Stacy right in her face, who she had pinned to the floor.
Oh, my gosh.
Mary Pat was attempting to rub potatoes in Stacy's face.
Oh, come on.
And was screaming incoherently. Unfortunately for Mary Pat, one of her fingers got too close to Stacy's mouth, and she bit it.
Yep. Oh.
Yeah, saw that coming.
I went back downstairs to get Mary's husband, Todd. I told him he needed to go up there. He just sighed and said, okay.
He's seen this before, apparently. He knew what was going on.
He wrestled his wife off Stacy and dragged her kicking and screaming into the basement. Covered in wine, potatoes, and bleeding from her hand, Todd forced Mary into the downstairs bathroom and shouted at her to clean up and calm down. In the following minutes, we were able to piece together what happened. Mary had suggested the potatoes could use salt. Stacy disagreed.
Oh, wow.
Angered at the comment and drunk, she thought a good response would be to point out what a whore Mary was in high school 30 years ago.
God.
Enraged, Mary Pat decided to take Stacy to the ground and forced her to eat potatoes that lacked salt.
Wow.
That is where I walked in. Remarkably, things calmed down for at least an hour after that. However, once empty box 5 of wine hit the burn barrel and box 6 was retrieved from the garage, a threshold seemed to be breached. Mary Pat was in a bad mood. Her finger was sore. She was out of booze, and her whorish past had been brought up by relatives yet again. It was a cherished family tradition to point out such things annually. After spending much time in thought near the garage where the liquor's kept, Mary Pat returned to the party with revenge on her mind. Instead of disappointment or regret over her actions, Mary Pat came back with bad intentions. She immediately began pointing out the shameful sexual history of all the guests. Unfortunately.
Oh, I'm a whore? Oh, I'm a whore. Let's talk about you.
Unfortunately for 11-year-old me, she started with my mother. Ooh. Loud enough for all in the basement to hear. It was revealed that my mom had engaged in several affairs early in her marriage. Screaming ensued. Mary then turned her attention to Stacy. The screaming was such that those of us seeking refuge in the basement couldn't hear the accusations thrown towards Stacy, or could hear. After a few moments, the attention of everyone downstairs was captured when a thud, thud, thud was heard.
This is great.
The obvious assumption was that Mary had been overpowered and thrown down the stairs. However, we found that was the actually the sound of the turkey steaming from the oven. The turkey had landed on his head, propped up on the bottom stair. Grandma instructed everyone to get out at the top of her lungs. I suppose the tossing of the turkey was her own sign of protest. Uncle Todd grabbed the poor bird by one of his legs in the same way you'd carried a dead cat by the tail, brought the disgraced turkey back to the first floor. We left immediately.
The turkey tumble.
There you go.
Wow. Wow.
Two more days.
Who doesn't go home once an aunt has been pinned to the floor and forced to eat unsalted mashed potatoes?
The blasphemy.
Everybody goes home then. You don't stick around for round two when Mary Pat comes back. All right, I've got an idea. Let's talk about you.
Whore.
That's right. Let's talk about you. Wow.